The new Attorney General, Eric Holder, is still developing his plans for the Justice Department. To get a sense of where he might take the department in the future, we're going to look now at a chapter from his past.
15 years ago, Eric Holder was the chief federal prosecutor for Washington, D.C. He created a program that was innovative for its time. It's called community prosecutions.
The idea is to assign federal prosecutors to specific neighborhoods. People get out of the office. They build relationships with members of the community, get to know police and neighbors and hoodlums and witnesses, everyone. Is this a little like community policing, which so many people
have
heard about?
Very similar to community policing. And today, Attorney General Holder says this program is one of his proudest accomplishments from his time as D.C.'s U.S. attorney. More than half the state and local law enforcement offices in the country now do community prosecution. And here in D.C., the initiative is as strong as ever.
I'm Jalon Stewart. I'm an assistant United States attorney. I'm the 4th District community prosecutor.
Jalon Stewart is at a local recreation center where a neighborhood meeting is about to start.
And when the members of the community see me playing with their kids, they feel a lot more comfortable about our office as a whole rather than just, you know, the big bad prosecutor coming to lock them up. But then when it comes to intelligence, the citizens are very willing to give us all kinds of information that really will prevent crime.
So have you or your colleagues had specific experiences of needing to prosecute a case and going to somebody who you've met through community prosecution and using that person as a witness?
I have. I can give you an example. Actually, when I was in the homicide section, I'd been assigned a homicide that was really pretty much dead in the water. We had no real witnesses, and we didn't think we were going to be able to successfully prosecute.
Stewart was interviewing a witness in a different crime, and because of her work in the community, she realized the witness lived on the same block as the homicide victim.
So I just randomly asked her. I said, do you know a person named Larry? And Larry was my decedent. And she said, yeah, I know Larry. And I said, do you know where he is, how he's doing? She said, well, he's dead. I said, really? What happened to him? She said, he got shot. I said, who killed him? She said, Pierre shot him. I said, really? How do you know? Pierre told me, and he told me what he did with the gun. And so she also gave me a whole host of witnesses, and based on that one little, just one question I asked her, because she lived in that block, I was able to successfully prosecute that case, and we actually got a conviction.
And it's not just high-profile crimes like homicides. At a community meeting, prosecutors might learn that drug dealers are keeping kids out of a park. Then if the police catch someone with a joint of marijuana in that park, prosecutors will go after the case more aggressively because they know it's part of a bigger problem. Then when it comes time for sentencing, the prosecutor might show up at another community meeting. And Jalon Stewart will say to the neighbors,
I want you to fill out this form, and I want you to tell the judge about how you can't take your kid to the park. And then I'll take the community impact statement, and I'll submit it to the judge at sentencing, and the judge will actually take that into consideration when sentencing the defendant. And so it actually gives the community a voice that they otherwise wouldn't have if we weren't at the meetings.
One of the first people Eric Holder tapped to be a community prosecutor was Albert Herring. Today, Herring oversees the community prosecutions program, and on a recent afternoon, he visited one of the D.C. police stations to talk with a group of students.
How's you been, man? Doing good. How about you?
I'm here, man.
You still hanging in
this
there?
This guy's been around for years.
Herring runs into one police officer after another who he's befriended through the community prosecution program, including Officer Charles Robinson. How long have you known Albert Herring?
Oh, I know him for a long time. I guess close to 18 years.
And I take it you're a fan?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. Tell me why.
He's more or less a people's person prosecutor. He gets in the neighborhood. He sees what's going on. He sees the ups and the downs in the neighborhood.
Why is that important? Why is that useful?
Because it helps both parties. It helps the prosecutor can really understand on how better to prosecute cases.
And are relations better between the prosecutors and the police department, too?
Absolutely. That bridges the gap between the police department and the prosecutor and the community.
Prosecutor Albert Herring tells the students at the police station that he was not always a convert to this way of thinking.
And I used to think that if we just arrested enough people and put enough people in jail, the kinds of problems that we've been talking about would eventually go away. But I don't think that way anymore, because now I understand that we cannot arrest our way out of the problem.
The current U.S. Attorney for Washington, D.C. is Jeff Taylor. President Bush appointed him, and he's a huge believer in the community prosecution program that Eric Holder created.
We have soft power and we have hard power as prosecutors. Hard power is what people traditionally think prosecutors do. We prosecute cases, we put people in jail. But we can also make a difference in our communities by exercising this soft power.
One could caricature this as kind of a touchy-feely liberal way of approaching crime.
It's not touchy-feely. It's not conservative. It's not liberal. It's a philosophy of prosecution. It's a way of building our relationships with the community we serve so that the next time we need a witness or the next time we need to connect the dots in a community with the detectives and officers who work there, we can do so.
So Eric Holder started this program when he was sitting in this office that we're in now. Without becoming too much of an armchair psychologist, what do you think we can learn about him from looking at this program that he created?
Well, I don't want to speak for the Attorney General, obviously, but I think that the community prosecution effort reflects a profound understanding that prosecutors are servants of the community and that we're only effective in our job if we have the support of the community we serve.
Another man who was D.C.'s U.S. attorney during the Bush administration is Roscoe Howard. Now he's a lawyer in private practice, and he's friends with Eric Holder. He expects the Attorney General to apply the principles of community prosecution to his new job.
I think that you'll see that Eric attacks a lot of problems from angles that we won't be used to. I think Eric comes from, I don't really want to put too fine a point on it, but he comes from a different background than a lot of attorney generals would have come from in the past. I mean, don't underestimate being a minority. You are used to seeing issues in a different light than somebody who's a non-minority. He's a New York City kid. He understands the urban life.
And Howard says, Attorney General Holder has the philosophy, in order to know my job, I need to know the people I serve.
Well, Ari Shapiro, that's an interesting philosophy, but we should point out he was, in effect, a local official covering a city. How does he know the people he served now that his new job requires him to serve 300 million-plus people?
Well, exactly. It's going to be a different kind of program when you're overseeing a Department of Justice with 110,000-plus employees. But I think the key is what we heard Albert Herring say in this piece, that Eric Holder has the approach, we cannot arrest our way out of the problem. So whatever kinds of programs he implements as Attorney General, it's going to be taking these sorts of holistic approaches, getting to know the people you're serving, and finding ways to interact with them rather than just taking a top-down, hard-power prosecutorial approach.
Okay, we'll be listening to your reporting to find out if that works over the coming months and years. Ari Shapiro is NPR's justice correspondent. He's filling in for Renee Montaigne. He's here all week.